The other day, a woman stopped me on the street and asked for directions. Not wanting to be rude, I did my best to guide her and then went on my way. But after walking two blocks, I could tell I'd given her bad advice. I realized too late that she was trying to find the intersection of two streets that run parallel to each other. I'd pointed her in a direction that would never lead her to her desired destination because her desired location didn't exist. For some reason, it never occurred to me to check the map on my phone. I found that this is often the case when people give directions. Those who tell you what direction to take mean well. Some even know where you're trying to go, but often their advice is less than helpful. Sometimes, as in my case the other day, the fault lies with the one providing the guidance. They think they know the landscape better than they do. At other times, the problem is with the one who receives the directions. Maybe they don't understand them, or perhaps they don't trust them, and sometimes they just want to go their own way. When I was a pastor, I found that the majority of people who came to me seeking direction in their lives were really looking for permission. They already knew what they wanted to do. They just wanted a spiritual authority to tell them that it was okay. If I was unable to do that, they went in search of another counselor. Sometimes they just ignored my advice. There were also times when I gave bad advice, or at least inadequate counsel. I thought I knew the landscape. I tried to provide direction, but sometime later I realized that what I said was too simplistic. This usually happened when I found myself in the same situation, and my own advice came back to haunt me. What seemed so clear and straightforward before now looked like unfamiliar territory. I suppose at this point I should compare the Bible to the GPS on your phone. Just take it out and ask it where you're supposed to be, and you'll never go wrong. But it never seems quite that easy, at least not when it comes to the finer points of guidance. Now, the big things are simple, at least they're easy to know. They aren't always easy to do. All the big things that we're supposed to do or not do were pretty much boiled down to 10 things in the Old Testament. Jesus narrowed them down to 2. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. But honestly, it's the street-by-street navigation that gives us the trouble. Many times, when we're trying to make decisions, we're looking for an intersection when the choices before us lie on parallel tracks. The decision isn't binary. It's not a matter of either or. When faced with a choice between option A and option B, we could choose either and still remain within the boundaries Jesus sets for us. Neither one violates our love for God or our obligation to love others, yet we would still like to have a sense of God in our decision. There are some who say that in such cases, God really doesn't have a preference. If both your options fall within the broad boundaries God has set for your life, choose the one that pleases you most. It seems like sound advice, as long as your options remain binary and you have a clear preference. But what if you have more than two options? And what if you like them all? What if every one of them is something that you hate? What if you don't have a strong feeling about any of them? There have been times when I wished God would just come out and tell me the way that He wants me to go and relieve me of the responsibility of making any decision. An angel visitation might be nice, or maybe a cloudy pillar by day and a matching one of fire by night. It seems like a good idea until I realize how often that kind of direct guidance from God didn't seem to help God's people stay on the right path in the Old Testament. Knowing the direction we should take is no guarantee that we will want to take that direction. It's also no guarantee that we will actually choose to walk the path marked out for us. We might just bolt like the prophet Jonah and run for Tarshish. Lately, friends have been questioning me about a major decision that I've made in my life. How do you know God wants you to do that? They ask. I can only offer them negative proof. He hasn't given me any reason to think otherwise, I say. Does God want me to do this? How would I know? Dreams and visions? God doesn't work that way in my life. And there's no chapter and verse to cover the choice that I'm making. I'm left with preference, and even then there are times when I feel ambivalent. St. Augustine said, "Love and do what thou wilt." He didn't mean that we should always do what we want, but what we want is often a good place to start. Augustine's point was that whatever path we do take must fall between the two poles of the two great commandments that Jesus emphasizes. No matter whether we do what we like or like what we do, Everything that we do must be shaped by God's definition of love. Sometimes what we must do pleases us. Sometimes the thing that we would prefer to do falls outside the bounds of God's plan for our lives. Sometimes we don't know what to do, but must make a decision anyway. God doesn't always shine a light on the path before we walk it, but He does make the journey with us. Divine direction is no small thing. It's pretty important. But there's more to divine guidance than navigation. At its center, God's guidance depends upon faith. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your paths straight, Proverbs 3:5 tells us. This implies that there are times when our path is not clear, or our way is not straight. In those moments, we rely upon God to handle the course corrections. And in the process, we trust Him for the trajectory those changes introduce into our lives. These changes don't always make sense to us, or if they do make sense to us, they may not make sense to others. But God is the only one who sees the entire landscape of our lives. He knows where we should be and how to get us there. He knows how to nudge us in the right direction when we drift off course. Being a pilgrim with God reminds me of the family trips we used to take when my children were small. We didn't have GPS to help us count down the miles in those days. Every so often, my kids ask the question that every child asks at some point during a road trip. Are we there yet? My wife Jane gave the same answer every time. No, she would say, we're not there yet, but we're closer than we've ever been.